Good morning. I hope that I can speak loud enough that I don't have to actually stand by the microphone the whole time. And if I'm not, raise your hand and I'll step over there. Wasn't sure I was going to attend this seminar. 12 days ago I had major back reconstruction surgery, and with some great medicine I'm actually able to attend. One of the reasons I wanted to attend this is there has been work that's done that's not published, that's not out in the world, that to me was one of the most dynamic things that launched the acceptance of humic materials into the agricultural world that hadn't been seen. And if somebody doesn't tell that story in 10 years, it's not going to be known. My background is I started to work in humic acids July 3rd, 1976. So 40-some years ago, I started selling bags of humate materials in the California area. I do not work for a company that manufactures any humic acids. We don't manufacture any fulvics. I do work for companies that do buy fulvics or humic acids from a number of the people in here because I think they have great value and they use it in the fields in which they work. I do work as an independent consultant. A few people call me and ask me what my opinion is on certain things, and I will do some consulting work. But I wanted to tell this particular story because I thought it was significant enough that I think it opened doors that maybe some of you haven't seen before. I came out of a world where I understand how important it is to have research and all this academic stuff that backs it all up, but I also understand how you have to sell the darn stuff. Someone's got to pay the bills. One of the best studies I ever saw was done by Clemson, started in 1961, completed in 1973, was funded by a company called Worldwide Humates out of Albuquerque, $8 million in research, and they're not in business today. You know, no one sold any products. What you did is research the hell out of it, but you didn't sell anything. And so my task was, if I'm going to go out and sell the material, how am I going to do this? And I found that research was absolutely essential if you didn't have it. But if I did have research, it didn't make any difference whatsoever as far as making additional sales. Because, oh, that's just one study. That's not on my crop. It's not in my area. It's not on what I did. And so you could study crops forever and ever and ever. And so we tried to break through this, and we found for 10 years, from 1976 to 1986, when I started this study, out calling on farmers, telling them, you ought to try this product. You ought to put it on. And so we're little 10-acre test plots, maybe 20-acre test plots. And not scientific. They put it out, look good. Maybe they'd buy some more. Some guys would replicate it and do more. And I got a partner in 1986 who said, let's fund a research project. And we'll start this. We went to the largest commercial farming operation in the Northwest. They said, you can't talk to us unless you pay for research in our research blocks. They have had their own laboratory. They had 11 acres of dedicated land that was for research. They had a sprinkler system that was set up to go across these blocks. They'd divide them all up. Everything had to be done in this Duncan's multiple that you all understand and I know something about. But what we ended up doing was paying for a $5,000 research project where we took these 64 block design and we had 10 treated plots, 10 control plots, all picked at random to go out on. It was potatoes. And they planted four rows, 40 foot long. Harvest was done on the inside two rows with 20 foot. We're under contract with them. We can't even be on the facility without being in their presence and how the tour is being performed. Our program was to put on 40 pounds per acre of a granular humate material. Now, at the time, CDFA hadn't come up with the new rules and regulations, and we were using what we referred to as the A&L method of malic test, colorimeter testing procedure, and we were guaranteeing the material to be 75% humic acid, granular, humate material, and we'd go out and broadcast it on the soil, incorporate lightly into the soil. We also took a liquid humic acid. We recommended 3 gallons per acre to be put out, a half gallon per acre over 6 applications to be put out on this. However, the way I wanted to apply it and the way you do in the research blocks are different, because everything's going to get the same water and the same fertilizer, and the only thing you're going to do is put your little plots out. So I only know what plots I have 3 days before they actually plant the crop. So it's not on in advance, it's not on incorporated to which it should be, and if humic acids make nitrogen and phosphate fertilizers, water work better, and yet you put the same amount of water and fertilizer on every single block, and you come back and you harvest it, and are you getting a true evaluation of that? And I understand if I'm testing a product, does it work or doesn't it work, and the question is either yes or no, you know, that type of research really works pretty well. But when I have so many variables about how hot, how cold, did it get enough nutrients, did this take place? But we did this study, and we watched this very carefully for this period of time. And this is what we found in this process, was that in the research blocks, the first thing that we found, we had higher total yield. You know, we all cheered for that. However, it wasn't statistically significant because there's two great variances between the blocks. But yet, as a whole, we had a higher total yield. We had lower hollow heart, a disease in potatoes. We had lower brown center. We had lower internal brown spots. These are all things you get either paid for or docked for. We had less heat necrosis. We had higher specific gravities. That's a benefit. A denser potato stores better. And that we had 44.5% more oversized potatoes. Now, for McDonald's, that's great. If you're making chips, that's maybe something different. And we had 23% less undersized. But yet, they were not statistically significantly different that we could print these out in a study. Sites that were under contract, we couldn't tell anybody, we're even on the ranch, you know, let alone, you know, how this program worked. And we did catch the attention of some of the people. And we said, if in fact we claim that these make things work better, how are we going to adjust this? If it needs more nitrogen or less phosphate or less something or more water, how would you adjust for this? And we couldn't figure out how to do it in the research blocks, and so we were bold enough to suggest, why don't we do it on full field trials? Why don't we, instead of doing these little, you know, 40-foot test blocks, why don't we do these full circles? And they had 40,000 acres, and so we could actually match this out. This is one of their ranches in which had 10,000 acres, and they had historical data that they were convinced that they were so good because they... Every year they had harvest data from it. They did water, they had tensiometers, and they kept track of this forever. They would test every 3 days the surface, 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot levels, recorded this from the time they started planting them. They had every fertilizer input. Every week they would do a soil test, and they'd do a patio test. Every 2 weeks they would do a complete test for not just NPK, but it was full of full microbes, and they had all the yield and quality data, and they were sure that they could match this up. Now, the matching criteria is based upon the fact that we match sand against sand, and these are more clay fields against clay fields. This is rather flat up here, but you start up this hill, and you go from about flat to a 3% to a 5%, actually to a 6% grade. We found we couldn't do fields on top of one another. We'd do them side by side. They had to follow the same kind of rotation. You couldn't have 1 year corn and then 2 year corn going into this. And so it had to come out of a 2 year corn rotation, 1 year potato rotation, get set up. They were convinced that we matched these. These are 1,250 acres under treatment. Notice two fields over here don't have a matched pair. The dark blue are the ones that are going to be treated, and the the other ones aren't. They wanted to treat those fields because they're the two worst potato fields on the whole ranch. And we committed to a full truckload of the products, of which we offered to provide to them free of charge. They just had to apply it. But we were bold enough to suggest that if these products worked, that we wanted to split any increase in benefits that we got off the ranch. Now, of course, some of the guys thought, well, that didn't make any difference. This stuff didn't work anyway. We're not going to pay them a penny. Some guys said, we have enough statistical data. We can prove this stuff doesn't work. Second thing that they would be able to do is, if this stuff does work, this is a way in which you can actually prove this out. So anyway, this is set up on this basis that I'm going to get every single week a soil report that tells me NPK, sulfur, and calcium. Every 2 weeks I get completes in the soil. Every week I get a patio report for the same thing. Once a month I get a complete report on all the micronutrients are also in the petioles. I get a weekly report on how much money or how much fertilizer is being applied each week in what form. See, each one of these is a pivot, and there's a circle here that they can put in a 1,500 gallon tank, and they can apply individual fertility to each one of these particular fields. They can be putting UN 32 on here, 1034 over here, AN 20 over here, all of them from different applications based upon what their soil reports. And so every Monday on this ranch, they go out, they pull the soil reports, they get them back the next morning, they have their own lab. They could take a look at this, that this is what I applied, this is what it said I had, this is what I'm going to put on. They would write a prescription out and they'd go apply it. Our program was, again, to put 40 pounds per acre of this dry granular humate out. Now, this time we did it in the fall, allowing that to work into the soil, make rains and irrigations to release it. 3 gallons of a total of liquid humic acid, a half gallon per acre applied over the growing season. Some things that we began to discover on this, on these nitrogen reports, and all of these data points exist for 4 years. I've selected some of these out because of shortness. The control is does not have the humic acid on it. This top thing up here is what your petio readings are, and you see the petio readings applied each week. The dark blue one seems to be consistently higher all the way through, but here's the actual pounds of nitrogen being applied each week, and we can see every time that we've applied it, other than that 1 week here and a week here, they never applied more nitrogen to our field, but yet our petio readings were consistently higher. When we got to the total end, we'd end up using a substantial difference. We'd use 60 pounds less nitrogen fertilizer, but yet our petioles were consistently higher because if it didn't need it, they didn't put it on. Of course, we go look at the next one. They all don't look quite so good. This one still showing the same thing, that our leaf petio readings, with exception of this 2 week period here, are consistently higher. We're not putting more on. When this ended up being completed here at the end, we actually only used 14 pounds less. I go to the next study. This was more typical of what we ended up seeing, was 43 pounds less nitrogen being applied, but yet our petio readings are consistently running higher. This caught the attention of some of the guys. Can I actually put humic with this material and actually get higher petio readings without using quite so much input? Here's where we started mixing liquid humic acids in with the phosphate, their 1034-0 program. And here are the petio readings that we started getting over here. And the control is 100% over here. And here we are 11% higher, 13% higher, 40% higher, 17, 15, and 23% higher. RP levels are higher. Now, I'm going to accelerate through this just a little bit and get to the last slide. This is what was really happening, was what the control was. This is, if I turn things around and said, this is what the treated fields look like, that regardless of how much phosphate they put on, they could not get the patio readings to match what we're doing across over here. But yet we used 15.1% less phosphate. And yet our patio readings stayed higher throughout that. potassium, they didn't manage that quite the same. They put the exact amount of potassium on every single week, made no adjustments on it whatsoever, but here's what the petio readings were showing differences on their samples. Here we had a 2%, a 2%, a 7%, 5%, and a 6% increase in the petio readings of potassium throughout the season. Again, I'm going to skip through these. To me, this is one of the more exciting things because we're looking at the water charts now. Every 3 days, they go out in the potato crops and they do tensiometer readings and they measure the surface 1 foot, 2 foot, and 3 foot levels. They manage the water at the 1 foot level, though. And so even though the other data is there, we take a look at this, and here's a field that is 46 treated. This is what is considered to be 100% field capacity. This is where they would need to add water to it, and look how much closer we are to the optimum field capacity than what we are in this particular field down over here. Now again, these are matched with similar soil types, similar slope, similar crop rotations coming out of there, and what this ended up being is we actually used 1.1 inch of water less in order to accomplish this in this field. All right, so that means I've got to hurry. Here's another field in which we did the same thing. And here, closer off in field capacity almost all the way through compared to what they're doing here, but yet they used 27.8 inches compared to 24.1. We ended up using 3.7 inches less water. The next field, I asked them the question later, why did you actually do this? Do you really want to farm at that high of a water capacity all the way through? And said, no. We just don't think you can grow potatoes at 22 inches of water. We think the reports are wrong, so we just kept watering anyway. And we still use 4.5 inches less water. Now, our specific gravities, when it came in at the end of the year, off of these particular fields, some of these went to storage, some of these went directly to processing, and unless they actually went into the storage, we took the readings, I don't have it. And so I don't have 12 compared fields, I have 6 compared fields, but all of the fields we had the treated had a higher specific gravity other than one field, then they thought these trends were great. Denser potatoes using less nutrients. At the end of this particular program, now it became a little bit concerning because we've made this deal about splitting profits, and they'd gone back and did their statistical studies and said, every time we find a field that we're going to do a comparison, we'll give you the field that's less in yield. So you have to take the worst field, but we'll give you credit for that. You know, so if it was a half a ton less, you know, you don't have to make that up. Won't do that. But now we got towards the end, they're saying, no, just a minute, this doesn't look right. We don't believe that those data was right. And I said, we didn't come in here on the basis that we were trying to figure out a way to finagle you guys into paying us $500,000 for something that if you'd have paid for it up front, it would have been much more inexpensive to do. And because our contract said they had to do this for 4 years. We would provide this material to them the first year, and regardless of what the outcome was, they had to do it the second year, they had to do it the third year. I would have been willing to stop at 3 years, but potato rotation is potatoes, corn, corn, potatoes, and I don't want to have my last crop be corn. So I wanted to be in potato rotation, so we had to do this for 4 years. Well, as we kind of argued through this, we ended up having the result show out that, because I remember talking to the agronomy staff, you told me that you were going to short me 1.1 inches of water, you were going to have 15% less phosphate, 5.1% less nitrogen, and I still had to beat this, that I would have agreed to that? And but it didn't make any difference because we outproduced them straight up 1.1 ton per acre increase across the board. Caught their attention enough that what we did, we decided to add some new circles. So you're going to get the condensed version of this. Every blue field was treated a second time, even one in corn. The new fields are now potatoes going into the same rotation, and we do the exact same thing. But when the other ranch is an 18,000 acre ranch, says we don't want to be left on the side of this. If there's really something that can increase potato production by a ton per acre and reduce our inputs by a certain amount, give us better water use, let us do these too. And this is 2,500 acres, but half of these were potato fields and the other half were corn fields that were set to rotate into potatoes the next year so that we could see if I started treating them in corn, could we get the benefit out of them on that basis. This is really a pretty elaborate study going forward. And I get these reports every single week. I have a guy that works for me, drives down there Thursday afternoon. I get a stack of this computer report, spend the whole weekend going through these and reporting them. And we're doing high fives in the office because everything is looking great. Except halfway through the year, it was actually the weekend of July 4th, I get the stack reports and I look at them and all of a sudden the numbers look like they're messed up. All the fields that we increased the liquid humic acid to 5 gallons per acre because they just do more work on potatoes. Still only 3 on corn, but 5 on potatoes. all the numbers just seemed to say, and I'm going through, I questioned the guys, did you get this on right? Did we deliver the stuff right? Is everything being done right? And I discover this, that every time they put on the product, they've got a code for this. This was the dried linardite material, and this was the liquid humic acid, and this is one of the fields that are treated. And I'm trying to figure out why this isn't working, and then all of a sudden I discover this. Then on the fields that aren't treated, they're putting humic acid on here, 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 here. I said, what are you doing? He said, we decided that we're not a research farm. We're a potato growing farm. We figured that this was so important that what we were going to do is make sure that we put enough humic acid on the fields that weren't being treated. I said, well, you should have told me this. I mean, I'm in here sweating bullets as to why I cannot explain why my petioles have switched. He said, we still want to use humic on the treated fields, but we had to switch that out. You're not going to get the end of all this. I'll be more than happy to share this. I did authorize this to be put online and be printed. But we have the second year field results for the same thing. Let me see if I get to this. Here's what happened in the water reports. First year we had a 5.4% water savings. Second year we had a 9.6% water savings. After 3 years of using this dry granular material, we had a 15% savings in water application. This is what the total inputs were. We increased yield by 1.17 ton per acre. We used 15% less water. We used 5.9% less nitrogen. We used 15% less phosphate. The K, they applied the exact same amount. At the end of the period of time, they continued to buy $1 million of humic products to me for the next 13 years. It changed the subject from when I handed a card to one of my fertilizer companies that used to drop the card, say, you're snake oil peddlers, was tell me a little bit more about what you're doing. And as a result of that, they opened up a market that was just phenomenal for us. I know I have no time for questions, and there's a few more slides in here, but this is a story worth telling. If you would love to invite me back at any other time, I could go through some of this, because what it taught us, you can't use a product that has so many different variables, but yet I'm only measuring one thing, and I'm going to put the same amount of water, fertilizer, inputs, and everything on it without having some way to be able to determine this. In my business, thank you. In my business, I sold over $50 million worth of humic products before I got out of the manufacturing business and stuff. And I think it's one of the most phenomenal things on the face of the earth, humic materials and being able to apply those to crops. And so I thank you for my patience. You just have to see it. Thank you.